Hey, Life of Land, ladies and gentlemen, and about halfway through their antics for this evening, you'll be pleased to know it's not all over yet. But we're going to do an interview with them now. Before we do, there's 17 of you listening, so some of you best piss off or you're going to do in our reputation as Britain's least popular radio station. Really, I'm serious. I want to see that number dropping significantly over the next couple of hours. But no, really, seriously, we are here with the Life of Land crew. Thanks very much for coming in, guys.
It's okay.
How long have Life of Land been running?
6 years, isn't it?
Yeah, well, since 2000, January 2000.
Yeah.
And what sort of motivated you guys to get together and, pick up instruments and drum machines?
Most of it all came from organising free parties first. Like, it was more that, like, the fact that you can't put on a night. Everything in Cambridge is like the clubs. This club scene shit is just like commercial. And you like, they just, if you want to organise a night, they're like £2,000. You know, it's all like the warning crew. You know, it's like £10 on the fucking door, and it's like, and like, so we were like, right, cheap party. Most of us were DJs, the MCs and stuff.
Is that sort of Cambridge equivalent free party?
Yeah, basically.
Cheap party, mate. Yeah. All night.
Cheap party.
Yeah, lit by one lamp.
Yeah. We had a laser once.
Yeah, that was fat.
And you've become quite well known, I think, right across this country and Europe as well, playing quite a distinctive sound. Did you know that you were going to work for that straight out? Is it something that you came to over like a period of time?
On an early party, like, it was pretty early on, we said that like the aim would be to start putting on parties and playing nights of all our own music. And I think over the next 4 or 5 years, we all just got into production, and after that time, we'd had all this music we'd made and we could put on nights. It was all our own production. So, yeah, I think a lot of people around kind of were interested in booking us because we had our own sound that kind of developed. So, like, similar but different. You know, it's got a unique touch.
So, just
adding to that was, like, I mean, most of the raves that we went to and most of the things that were, like, available at the time, you had your sort of hard house, hard trance sort of stuff with a four to the floor, you know, techno, that sort of thing. And you had, like, jungle and drum and bass, but we all liked, you know, the acid line from the trance, and we liked the sort of kick drum from the techno, and we liked the drum and bass, you know, the bass line and the jungle amens, and like, so we just thought, you know, let's mash it all up. So you were at a multi-rigger, you were walking around the rave, you were getting all the different types of music all in one tune, basically.
Sounds like the stuff Breakcore's made of, pretty much. And you're saying, particularly, there is sort of like, well, it's a markedly different edge to, I think, your sound than a lot of dance music that gets played, because you're actually using live instruments on occasion. I think you've got an accordion.
That's,
we saw you at Resonance with someone playing a sax as well.
Yeah, that was an old guy, our mate, Dr. Benway, aka Rob. He's sort of, there was a bit of dubstep with Mental Arithmetic. He's like another like person who's been with Life of Land from like the beginning, and we're kind of collective, you know. So if there's anyone we know, a friend of a friend who plays this or can help do that, you know, they're all invited, basically. So like a lot of the kids whose first rave was a Life of Land, like, they've started to make tunes, you know, like 18-year-olds are coming up and like writing sick tunes, you know, and like mental look on music, like, compared to a lot of 18-year-olds in the country. So we've got like a third generation now of, you know, Life of Land producers of different ages, but like, you know, as young as 18, writing sick, like, releasable tunes, you know. So we've kind of made an influence in Cambridge as well, a lot. You know, we've been told by a lot of people.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty gratifying to
see
that going
definitely
on.
I think that's more, that's better than, you know, fame or anything, or getting to play in different places. It's like the fact that we've helped people from Cambridge, like, do other stuff, you know, not do the same old shit, basically.
Yeah, now your driving skills obviously ain't as quite polished as your music skills, because it did take a while to get to the studio this evening. And I said earlier on we were going to stop at 12, but if 17 of you keep on listening, we might well run over a little bit. But I can't remember what I was going to say now. So lost in the driving, but touring. That was what I was going to get onto next. You have done a fair bit of touring. Definitely last year you were out in Europe. Have you done? Well, where have you been in Europe, and what's the sort of reception to what you're doing there?
Do you want to talk about that?
We went to Europe last summer, just sort of headed towards Czech Tech via sort of started in Germany, went to Berlin, and Ed did some busking there, and we sold some music, and ended up in Prague, pretty penniless by this point, having only been travelling for a couple of weeks.
What, penniless English techno kids in Prague? Who would have thought it?
But eventually made it to Czech Tech, like, by the skin of our teeth, a day late. But once we got there, we managed to sell, like, music and sell CDs and impress people enough to want to pay us to keep coming to play on their sound system at different parties. So, like, things were looking up, and then just sort of carried on going from there, really, and just playing all the parties around Europe, like, on that trail. Just
I've got to big up the Bulgarian lot as well for last year booking us and showing us a wicked time and a wicked country as well.
Aside to
flat break or scene.
That was it. Kenny was saying Kenny, Ghost and Jabba, they went on a sort of different little tour and played out in Bulgaria and Hungary, and like, so it's kind of gone as far afield as that. It's kind of really sort of, we've got a lady, Caffeine, who makes tunes as well, who also does a bit of promotion in Australia. She's been doing it for like 10 years now or something. She's talking about gigs out there in New Zealand, and so me and Kenny will be doing that next year, and then she's talking getting, more of us, and trying to, the end project seems to be, we were talking about getting a big multi live set together,
some kind of orchestra,
like a massive big bait call band, basically, because we've all got the talent and skill to do it now. Paul's been working hard on playing piano now, and he's good classical pianist as well as a fucking good bait call producer, so we've got these skills that are really handy, and with kind of understanding music, and I reckon together, especially with the culture we were picking up from all the free parties and stuff around us, so much influence from different places. Like, classical is a completely different touch, and seeing your scrams in a ska band, and we're sort of a bit different. Kenny's a didgeridoo player, it's kind of, we've got a lot of things we can sort of kick into the music that
it's a bit more than just a 909 kick at the end of the day.
It's
just a way, trying to find a way to take all those different elements and have them working all together with computers and didgeridoos and pianos and everything, really. Just
it can be done.
It will be done. Positive.
I wasn't going to ask you this, but seeing as we're an hour late, how did you end up getting back from Europe last summer?
I'll leave this one to Ed, actually.
Oh, fuck it. No, we got rescued, actually, by my parents. Our car broke, two times. Once in a really dangerous tunnel. We were fucked. We were, going to borrow money, but then the money actually was worth more, twice as much as the van. We were going to, what's it? Shall we get a Skoda, fill it up with all our kit? Can't do that.
And we did break down in an Italian town called Finale, which is touching. Yeah. But, the fact that Ed's parents drove non-stop from Cambridge to Finale.
Yeah, a big up to my parents, man.
When they arrived in Finale, all they did was eat a pizza and then drive straight back without stopping. And did nothing but praise us for our heroic journey through Europe the whole way home. So,
yeah.
Fair play.
Sound his parents alive.
Fair play. So, yeah, just a couple more. Get back to the tunes, folks. If people want to find Moria Records and what's going on, where can they go?
Outerbound.co.uk. Yeah, big up Inky for that.
We'll try and bang a link on the website to that one. And plans for the future. What is next for Life for Land?
We've got another release in the pipe works. Hopefully,
couple of albums this year as well.
Couple of more CDs from MDS and Scram. Possibly, yeah.
I'm working on my Clowncore.
Ed's working on another one.
That's one more I've got, because who came up with Clowncore? Whose idea was that then?
Yeah, it's kind of, me, it's me. But it's kind of something I think a lot of people have been touching on for years, and it's kind of, I mean, I wouldn't lay claim to be the first person who put, like, ska skanks over a jungle beat, but I sort of seem to be somebody who's sort of...
The name seems to mean more than what...
Yeah,
what
I mean, I think Finn said it for a joke one day. It's like clowny music, it's clowncore, it's like hardcore clowncore. It's, you know, and it was kind of... But apparently there was, like, all the metal, you know, like the fucking... What you call it? Slipknot and that, basically. You know, one of them dresses as a clown, and a few of these metal bands apparently do that, and apparently that's what clowncore was. That's what people... I don't know, but this is a separate thing, and I don't know. It happened to be like called that for a joke, and now stuck, and you know, it's almost like people say it's a gimmick and stuff, but at the same time, it's sort of the natural progression of just mixing a few types of music. And there's a few of us doing it now, and it's sort of, you know, it's a thing that's going to progress into not just clowny sounding jungle, it's just, or techno or whatever. It's, you know, just a, I don't know, a bit of fun, really.
Yeah, full power. No, I think we've got a lot of people on the show who are cutting their own style of music, and you guys definitely amongst them.